This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
This is Matt and Myron, the podcast.
There have been some great sports all week with the NBA, NHL, but the NBA has kind of taken center stage. And you had a Celtics team last night that I felt like they had to get a win after what happened in game two. Donovan Mitchell destroyed them. They lose on their home court. They had to reassert the reality that they're the team to beat in the East and maybe in the entire NBA. They did that. What did you like about that performance from the Boston Celtics? And are you more of a believer in that team as the favorite to win it all after what you saw?
Well, first of all, that Celtic team, they're never going to admit this, Myron, but if you pump them with the truth serum, all right, You injected the truth serum into their veins, so they have to be honest with you. If you ask them, would you like to play the rest of your postseason games on the road or at home, they would tell you the road. They're terrible. They're a 500 team at home in the postseason the last couple of years, which doesn't scream championship contender, right? Like, you should be dominating at home if you're a 64-win team. They're great on the road. And, of course, so far on the road this postseason, they haven't lost yet. So I'm not surprised at all with the performance from them yesterday. I mean, maybe, you know, the concentration level is better when they're away from home. They're not in front of the home crowd. I don't know what it is, all right, because we're now first round and second round. That team should go up 2-0 when you're facing an 8-seed Miami and a 4-seed Cleveland, but they're losing at home and getting blown out, mind you. They're losing at home in each game, too. They clearly prefer, at least right now, they play better on the road. Now, as far as overall, it's hard to make the case for the Knicks right now because of the injury situation, you know? Jalen Brunson is going to be out there and playing, but OG Anunoby is very important to them. If the Knicks were healthy, I would pick the Knicks to beat the Celtics next round. I would. But that has to be a Knicks team that has Anunoby, and it doesn't really feel like he's coming back anytime soon. He's already been ruled out for game four this afternoon. But I look over the West, Myron. I don't see Boston, with or without Porzingis, I don't see Boston getting past Minnesota or Denver. I look at both those teams, I'm like, they are a lot better than Boston. Yeah. A lot better.
Yeah, there's a lot ahead to see what Boston is going to do. I'm Myron Metcalf. He's Jonathan Zaslow. Let me stop. And my goodness, I didn't say Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I should have started the show that way because, yes, Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. The mothers make our world go round. My mama, Barbara, I don't know if she's listening. She's probably at church. She goes to church pretty early, so she never hears the show. But Happy Mother's Day to every mother who's listening, even if you're not listening, because this is their day. So I should have started like that, Zaz. I got ahead of myself driving the show. I usually don't drive the show, so Matt probably would have done something like that. I should have said
Happy Mother's Day. So it's Matt's fault.
It is Matt Jones' fault. It is fault.
It threw things off a little bit, and as a result, the mothers didn't get their due at the top of the show.
Blame Matt Jones. That's all I would say. You have a problem, blame him. But definitely Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I'll tell you my thought on Boston and where they stand in my book. First off, they won the Eastern Conference by 14 games, which is crazy. When you think about the Western Conference being decided on the last day of the regular season, three teams had the same record going into that final Sunday. Yeah. OKC, Minnesota, Denver all battling for that top seed. Boston should be the most dominant force in the playoffs right now. They lose to a Miami team that didn't have Jimmy Butler. They lose to a Cleveland team because they couldn't handle Donovan Mitchell. Now, yesterday was incredible. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum showed you why they're stars. 61 points combined. Even though Donovan Mitchell scored 33, they still get a double-digit win. I'm not sold on Boston, and I don't think Jason Tatum is a superstar. So for me, this isn't about the road versus home. This is about a team that's supposed to be more dominant than it is right now, that has a lot of these moments where you go, okay, how much do they care right now about the task at hand? Yeah, Jason Tatum with that weird post-game rant about, we're not a super team. Who said you were?
Terrible.
Who said you were?
Terrible.
Like, what
job
are you talking about? So I just think this Boston team, I think they're front runners a little bit, and I need to see it to believe it. Now, Porzingis comes back. They are a much better team. I'm with you. Minnesota, Denver. If Dallas gets through OKC, they're going to be some team. They're going to be a team you have to deal with as well. But Boston, to me, people say they're underrated. I think they're overrated in a lot of ways in terms of they should be more dominant. They should have swept every team they played so far. And we've just had too many down moments for a team that won the Eastern Conference by 14 games. If Jason Tatum is a superstar, you run through all these teams in front of you right now. If the Celtics are the force to be reckoned with and the favorite, you run through a Cleveland team that is literally playing with one guy that you have to stop and no one else is going to beat you. I'm not sold on Boston as the champion this year. I think they lose to whoever represents the Western Conference.
To me, if you're a 64-win team, you're supposed to be a championship contender. And by the way, we're in essentially year number five with this group of the Celtics, with this core with the Celtics of, you know, the championship contender. Really, yeah. You know, 2020 in the bubble, they lost in the East Finals to Miami. Clearly, they were a championship contender that year. So we're in year number five, at least, of this being a championship contending group. And if you can't go up 2-0 in the first round, if you can't go up 2-0 in the second round, I don't feel like you're not giving up the vibe that you're a serious team. Now, you mentioned that they're a bit of a front runner. That's the same thing as, you know, they have a bully mentality to me. All right. Yeah. They're really good at beating you up. They will beat you down. They will beat you bad. But when you punch back, a lot of times with the bully, when the bully gets punched back, they don't know what to do. And when you punch back against this Celtic team, you're not quite sure how they're going to respond. In the third quarter of game two, the Cavaliers punched back, and the Celtics, the bully, never got up off the mat. And so the Cavaliers blew them out. They have a bully mentality to me, this Celtic team. And look, they haven't even been tested yet when we're talking about close games. They were bad in close and late games this regular season. See, to me, Myron, even if you're a great team in the regular season like the Celtics, you got to find things in the regular season that are going to help prepare you for the postseason. And when you're blowing teams out every other night in the regular season, I don't know how that helps you come postseason. You have to be tested at some times in the regular season. And as a result, they were not great in close games in the regular season. What's going to happen with – and look, you see what's going on with the New York Knicks. They play nothing but close games, all right? What's going to happen when the Celtics are in a tight game in the fourth quarter, in the postseason?
We're going to find out. I mean, he's Jonathan Zaslav, Myron Metcalf here on Sunday morning with Matt and Myron. Matt Jones is out. Yeah, I mean, the thing about winning all those games in the regular season, at a minimum, it should show that you're a dominant team. Like, it should show that when you play your best, there aren't many teams that can get close to you. And to me, the way that they shrink to the competition sometimes – is ridiculous. Listen, they've been a contender. We've been talking about them as a contender, to your point, 4 or 5 years. Anything short of a championship's a failure if you're the Boston Celtics, in my opinion. Forget all this championship contender nonsense. Oh, they're so close. Nobody cares about close, especially in Boston. Stop giving them a pass. If they end this year without a championship, especially with the Western Conference looking like, okay, what's Minnesota going to do? What are we going to see from Denver? What's going to happen with OKC and Dallas? Those teams look all like they're pretty close. None of them won their conference by 14 games. This has to be that kind of a championship season if you're the Boston Celtics. And if you're Jason Tatum, and everybody's telling me he's a superstar. I don't know what he's won to be a superstar. Superstar used to mean you won something. Superstar used to mean you had supernatural performances in the playoffs that left no doubt as to whether or not you were a superstar. Yeah. That hasn't happened yet with Jason Tatum. There's an opportunity for that to happen. It hasn't happened yet. If the Boston Celtics fall short of their goals, that to me is an F for the season. I don't care about anything else they've achieved to that point. Coming up next, the Knicks are limping into this game with a lot of injuries that they have to overcome, but can they find a way to beat a tough Indiana team on the road? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. All the dunks.
Carl Anthony Towns, the flush.
The dimes.
Hero behind the back, Caleb Martin.
The daggers.
A shot of game six, Kyrie Irving.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs continue on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
I am Myron Metcalf. He's got the Zaslow on Sunday morning with Matt and Myron. Matt Jones is out. This is not like us. The Kendrick Lamar song that has just gone crazy. I mean, my goodness, Zaz. This is a song, if you listen to it, I mean, the lyrics are pretty brutal against
Drake.
All right,
so this is one of those diss tracks? This is one of them?
This is the diss track, okay. And it has been like the biggest song ever. Literally, the most streams on a single day in Spotify history. Like crazy lyrics, but people are dancing to it.
All right, so I'll tell you, Myron, like, I'm a rock music fan, classic rock, what... I don't know much about hip hop. Although back when I was growing up, Tupac and Biggie, Wu-Tang, like I dug all that. But today's hip hop, I know nothing about. So the part that's so confusing to me, Myron, and I had to have David Dennis Jr. last weekend actually explain to me what's going on with Kendrick Lamar and Drake. So I think it was that day that it was all happening. The part that was so difficult for me to understand, Myron, is so these guys. They're just dropping tracks randomly? Like, they're not on an album? It's just, here's a new song?
Yeah, it's a new era, right? Because remember, like, Tupac and Biggie, you had to wait 3 months before you got a song. Like, you had to go make the video, the song. Like, it was a whole process. Now, you know, these people can make songs tonight and put them out there. It goes wild on social media. It is different. But this is a wild beef, and this song has been sort of the theme. I heard it. Somebody was on a boat in the middle of Minnesota out here, and somebody was playing. I mean, it is.
And Kendrick Lamar's crushing him. You're saying, right? He's killing him.
Oh, he's crushed him. Yeah, I mean, Drake's gotta, I think, rethink his next chapter in terms of how he recovers from this because I think it's pretty bad. But you know who doesn't
have?
Does
he still have time to bounce back?
No,
like, is it over for him now?
No, not in this beef. He lost this beef. He'll still be very rich and make millions of dollars going forward.
But this chapter is over for him. He lost this battle.
He lost this battle. You know who didn't lose this battle? The New York Knicks. You like that segue? I just did that. Just like that, Zaz.
There you go.
The Knicks up 2-1 on the Pacers. And listen, this has been, if you're a 90s basketball fan, this feels like the old Pacers-Knicks series. They're physical. And then here's the other thing I like, Zaz. They don't like each other. Like, I mean, I don't know if they started that way. I don't know if game one, they didn't like each other. By game three, between the Carlisle playoff stuff, sending 78 calls into the league, and then the fouls that weren't called, you know, you had Tibbs eyeing up the referees after the game. They're starting to get underneath each other's skin. That's adding so much to this series. Now, we've heard the referee thing. Obviously, that's been a thing, but now we got to talk injuries because that has become the thing we're all watching. OG Anunoby is going to be out in game four. Jalen Brunson's playing on 1 foot or whatever he's had to deal with. They've already had to endure Mitchell Robinson injuries and obviously Julius Randle getting hurt. It's amazing that the Knicks have even risen to this point to get here. But now the question has to be, will they be healthy enough to beat an Indiana team that's serious? I mean, they are the fastest team in the league. We saw them run Milwaukee off the floor, and now it seems like every day there's another injury report going against the Knicks.
Yeah, and I know everyone wants to get on Thibodeau about the minutes. Everyone's part of the minutes police, all right? But here's the thing. You got no Julius Randle. You got no Mitchell Robinson. You got no Bogdanovich, all right?
Yeah, that's three guys. People forget about him. Yeah.
Right, so the guys who they're playing now, they're essentially playing seven guys every game. Otherwise, you would be able to choose from 9 or 10 guys every game if you had those guys I just mentioned. Of course, I didn't even mention Anunoby. So, like, how deep can the coach actually go onto his bench? He wants to win the games.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the second round of the playoffs here. How many teams would be able to reach down to the end of their bench playing their 12th and 13th and 14th guys and have a legitimate shot in the postseason? The answer, I'll answer for you. The answer is nobody. So yeah. As a result, he's only able to play really seven guys that he trusts, and he's playing them as much as he possibly can. Now, the injury situation, Anunoby, he came to the team with an injury situation.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
you know,
he did.
It's really difficult. Like, if there's one thing, Myron, about the league this year that we've learned when it comes to the injuries is we don't know anything. There is no real answer to, all right, should guys rest? Will that help with injuries? Should guys play more? Will that help with injuries? There's no rhyme or reason to it. Look at all the guys across the postseason who are dealing with the injuries. Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Zion Williamson. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. So I hate the complaining about who, you know, playing too many minutes. This guy's playing too much. I mean, I get it. Josh Hart's averaging more minutes than there are actually in a game. He's averaging 48.2 minutes a game, you know, which is funny, of course. But I love this series, B. There's so much juice to it. And you forget, too, Myron, don't forget game two, you had the whole Reggie Miller element added to it because he was all over that broadcast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many juicy elements to it. I love that there's the bickering. They don't like each other. I hate the hugging and kissing during the regular season in the NBA. Give me an old-school 90s kind of rivalry, which is what this right now feels like. These teams don't like each other.
Yeah. No, you need that animosity, I think, in the NBA. And I think we're starting to see that with that series. He's Jonathan Dassel. I'm Myron Metcalf. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What are the Knicks' chances that they get through Indiana of beating Boston and making it to the finals? Let me tell you something about Jalen Brunson. I think it's interesting how many people have jumped on the Knicks bandwagon. And I don't know, Knicks fans, I don't know how they're handling that. But, like, I know when the playoffs started how many Knicks fans there were. Somehow, Zaz, that number has tripled going into game four. And it's people who never talked about the Knicks who are suddenly big-time Knicks fans. But I haven't felt this way about a postseason performance. Jalen Brunson averaging 34.6 points per game, 7.9 assists so far in the postseason. And listen, you go back to game three, he was hurt. Obviously, he's kind of, all right, okay, we don't have to keep, we don't have to play. Stop, we don't have to play. Y'all, my thing is, you don't need extra promotion. You're in New York. Like, you don't need a song, and that's a terrible song. But you go back to
it's
game three, it's a really bad song, Nick. It is. It's the worst. Who produced it? Vanilla Ice?
Under the context of sports songs are usually garbage, that it's bearable to listen to.
The Bears shuffle, Super Bowl shuffle, is great.
Have you heard the 76ers song?
What song? 76ers is very cheesy.
The 76ers song is horrible.
Very cheesy.
I don't know. This is the worst song I've heard.
Sorry to distract you.
Of all the songs. You know what I mean? It's just terrible. But, like, okay, now you got a song. Now everybody's a fan. I don't like the fake Knicks fandom stuff. But even going back to game three, you know, they're right there with the Pacers. The only reason they lose is because Nembhard, who hadn't made a shot all game, hits a three to win. And Jalen Brunson, with 9 seconds left, takes that terrible shot. But they're
The Knicks fan will tell you, Myron, the reason they lost was because, you know, there was a goaltend that wasn't called. And because Jalen Brunson got fouled, and they didn't that either.
They're right. Let me tell you something. If Rick Carlisle is going to send 78 calls to the league office, let's talk about game three and all the missed calls. My problem is this. I think if you're an official, you're trying to call it neutral. You're trying to be down the line. I have no doubt in my mind, Zaz, when Rick Carlisle goes to the NBA and publicly says, there were all these missed calls, we're getting treated like a small market team.
Yeah.
And you're an official in game three. Now, all of a sudden, you're going, wait a minute. I got to make sure I'm not looking like I'm leaning towards New York's way. If you listen to Josh Hart after the game, he said there was one official who wouldn't even talk to us, wouldn't communicate with us. So now are these officials thinking, I can't do anything to look like I'm in favor of New York? And that ends up being against the Knicks, because I watched Jalen Brunson get stiff-armed by Andrew Nembhard a couple of times. They didn't call it. I just hate that officiating has become such a major thing, because this is a great series, and we didn't need that to become a sidebar in this series.
Well, there's a reason why Carlisle knows what he's doing. Carlisle doesn't believe for a second that small market teams aren't getting a fair
deal. No, he doesn't.
That's, That's ridiculous. What Carlisle is doing there, and he knows, all right? He's been at this game for a long time. There's a reason why Carlisle didn't go on that post-game diatribe in between games one and two, and he waited to do it in between games two and three. If he's going to use essentially that bullet in his chamber, if he's going to use that bullet, it's not going to be when the next game is still at the Garden. It's going to be when his team is down 2-0, so they desperately need game three, and they're changing venues where the officials, look, it's human nature. They can, and a lot of times are, influenced by the atmosphere, by the crowd, by the environment they're in. And there's a reason why he saved that whole post-game rant before the series shifted to Indianapolis, because what happens? Human nature takes place with these officials, and you know what? When there's questionable moments, the officials could very well side with the home team. And as a result, maybe you got a little bit of home cooking. And also as a result, guess what? Pacers are back in the series.
They're right back in the series. And now I can't wait to see what happens here in game four. He's Jonathan Dassel. I'm Myron Metcalf here on Matt and Myron. Sunday morning with Matt and Myron. I mean, yes, the personnel issues are real for the Knicks. I think OG, you trade for OG for the playoffs. I mean, you trade for a two-way guy like him for the playoffs, a guy who can hit shots, who can defend multiple spots, and now you don't have them. But the Knicks have just been able to overcome, man. I have not felt this way about an individual performance in the playoffs since D-Wade in 06 when he led the Heat to a championship. I mean, he's literally carrying a Knicks team that has endured injury after injury after
Myron,
injury.
Myron, is this where I got to say, being here in Miami, is this where I got to say Jalen Brunson needs to do it in the finals like Dwayne Wade?
Yeah,
is this
does.
Where I need to
oh,
add that?
There.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's D-Wade. That was a special, special performance. But in terms of what we've seen so far, this has been epic, and it's a reason why so many people are jumping onto the bandwagon. Coming up next, we speak to one of the few people who saw the Knicks run from the start. That's next on ESPN Radio and, of course, the ESPN app.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Kandy. Coming up Monday, the Lakers are willing to give LeBron James whatever he wants. I'll tell you if that's the right thing for them to do. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Matt and Myron, the podcast.
As the number and severity of third-party breaches continue to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For security and compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta Questionnaire Automation, security and compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your security and compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, Smart Recruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/podcast to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's VANTA.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Free to shoot. To Nimard, he's got to shoot it. Step back, long three. It's at the shot clock horn! Andrew Nembhard couldn't buy a basket in game three, and he may have just come up with the biggest basket of a game the Pacers need.
He's one of our toughest guys, mentally and physically, and he's really gained a love for these types of moments and playing in this kind of stage.
I am Myron Metcalf. He's Jonathan Zaslow. Sunday morning with Matt and Myron. That's a terrible song. They got to come up with a better. They need somebody to rewrite the song, remix the song, something. We're obviously on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in today as the Pacers host the Knicks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on SiriusXM Channel 80. We are now joined by the one, the only, the incredible Monica McNutt, ESPN NBA analyst. She has been on the call for the Knicks. Monica, I want to say years and years ago, before you became the Jalen Brunson of ESPN, the superstar that you are, right? You had a podcast, and you were like, hey, Metcalf, why don't you be on my podcast? I'm launching it. You can be my first guest. I think I was your first guest, and then like 2 weeks later, you're on TV, and the rise began, and I'm so proud of everything that you've been able to achieve.
Buckets, boards, and blocks. You are indeed our first guest. I think we launched during college basketball season, and then my good friend and little brother, King McClure, came aboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metcalf, wow, what a little trip down memory lane. That distracted me because at first I thought you were buttering me up with the Nick song, and then you came for it so hard. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Nah, all true, all true. I mean, you deserve all the accolades. Brunson, it's been remarkable because even though I feel like we all watched him during the regular season, this feels like another level with what he's been able to do. 34.6 points per game in the postseason, 7.9 assists. What has it been like for you to watch him lead this Knicks team with all the injuries they've been dealing with so far?
It's weird, Metcalf, because I wish I could say that I wasn't surprised, but I also am not, right? Like, I think the feats and the way that he's been able to do it has been, I don't know if surprise is the right word, because we've been watching Jalen Brunson carry this team since, frankly, the end of January when you lose OG Anunoby and Julius Randle. Now, OG Anunoby has gotten back, but he has just continued to put up necessary performances. I'm not even going to say like gaudy, but they've been necessary for this team to win. I will say that I think the surprise part for me continues to be him elevating in the postseason, which I really shouldn't be surprised, but it is just like, you also don't want to take it for granted. And so you're sitting in this very weird place of like, we've watched this guy who truly believes the magic is in the work and doesn't care about anything except putting his teammates in position to be successful, competing at a high level and winning. But at the same time, like, you got to savor it and appreciate it because it's been so long that New York has had a point guard that's done this.
Monica, when you hear fans, media talk about how they know better than Coach Tibbs as far as how many minutes this guy should play and you need to play more guys off your bench, you know, guys are getting tired, they're going to get hurt, as if Thibodeau is not around the team every single moment of every single day, your thoughts are what?
My thoughts are, I understand where you're coming from the outside looking in, but anytime you have a chance to grab these guys post shoot around availability, post game, they will tell you we've done this all year. And so while this is new territory in terms of the eyeballs that the playoffs garner, this is not new to them. And I think in game three, you saw Alec Burks be deployed and demonstrate the utmost level of professionalism, 14 points off the bench, really for real y'all out of the rotation. Like, he had played seconds in the postseason up until that moment, but he's able to show up in the most professional way. Same for Precious Achiuwa and the type of minutes that he's getting. I totally understand, because there are moments I'm like, all right, can we steal like 60 seconds here? I totally understand why fans feel that way. But I think the other part that maybe is a misnomer is that Tibbs is this iron dictator of a head coach that's running his guys ragged. Nah, them dudes want to play. They want to play.
She's Monica McNutt, ESPN NBA analyst. I'm Myron Metcalf. He's Jonathan Zaslow here on Sunday morning with Matt and Myron. I've heard a lot of praise for the Knicks, Monica. There's even been that conversation about greatest Knick of all time and where Jalen Brunson rakes. But I'm also seeing a lot of new fans. Like, people who never talked about the Knicks up until 2 weeks ago are suddenly fans. You're out there. What are the rules for the Knicks bandwagon? Because are they accepting applications? How does that work if you suddenly want to be a Knicks fan because of what you're watching this year?
So from what I've gathered from Knicks fans, because I always defer to them, I am a Maryland girl. The Knicks have embraced me incredibly, and I feel that love. But what I've gathered from the fan base is, as long as you remained a fan through the slim years, you may not have been the loudest, but as long as you did not completely jump ship, because we know some national commentators that made it a big deal that they jump ship. As long as you didn't jump ship, you are welcome back. Now, they will pull some receipts on you. I've seen many a clip of our boy Stephen A. and his immediate reaction to the Jalen Brunson trade, among others. And so Knicks fans got plenty of receipts floating around there. But as long as you didn't completely jump ship, it seems that you are welcome back.
Monica, are we in the place in this series going into game four this afternoon? Are we in the place this series where both teams are sick of each other?
I think the Pacers are sick of the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks, like, literally, and maybe I'm too close, y'all, but this is what the Knicks do, right? I think as much as Nembhard knocked down a huge shot, y'all, we sitting on the call. I got the video. I debated whether I wanted to post it or not because I wasn't trying to get trolled by Pacers fans. But literally, you go, ooh, that's a tough shot. Like, the defensive possession was so sound. He's 31 feet away from the basket. He's launching the shot. I'm literally like, oh, that's no good. That's going to be short. He's exhausted. And he cashes it. So you just got to salute on that one and keep playing ball. But what I will say is the question was posed after game three, because while people will talk about the Knicks being short, the Pacers had to empty the clip to get that win. And yes, they have more depth. And I think one of the wrinkles that prepared them for that push in the fourth quarter was Rick Carlisle's ability to rest his starters going into the fourth at the end of the third. And I believe like the first minute or so of the fourth quarter so that they had a little bit more juice in the final push. But they had to leave it all out there. Tyrese Haliburton left the podium visibly hobbling, right? And so if you ask me which one of those teams is more prepared to either duplicate or improve upon the experience from Thursday, based on their track record, it's the Knicks to me. They defend. That's true to who they are. They trust Jalen Brunson. He's going to play better. That's true to who he is. To me, I don't trust that the Pacers will duplicate the defensive performance, which you have to tip your cap to in game three. Plus, I think things settled down about the officiating. And I don't think officiating was notably imbalanced in game three. But there were some critical moments down the stretch that I thought the officials could have been sharper.
Monica, we'll get you out of here with this. If we look ahead, and let's say the Knicks get past the Pacers and end up facing the Boston Celtics, what kind of chance do you think they have of pulling off that upset?
You always got a chance, Metcalf. You got to play the game. Come on now. You always got a chance. I bet you didn't have the Cleveland rocking Boston in game two like that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Right? So, I'm not going to be delusional. Boston has been the best team all season long. But you got to play the game. And one thing that this team is not going to do going into that series is say, oh, let's just win one and go home. They're going to give it all they got. I don't know what's going to happen, but you got to play the games.
Monica McNutt, ESPN NBA analyst, thank you as always for joining us.
Thanks, Monica.
No problem, guys. Have a great rest of your show. And wish your moms and wives happy Mother's Day.
Yes, yes.
Happy Mother's Day, of course. This is their day, the moms. I hope they're enjoying it. I hope somebody's taking their mom to the Pacers-Knicks game. I mean, that's what I would do, Zaz, if I were in Indiana.
If your mom is into that,
yeah,
and that's the Mother's Day gift you can give to her, that's a good. You're a good son. You're a good son or daughter if that's what you do.
I would book a reservation at St. Elmo's, right? The steakhouse of the Midwest.
Is it close to the arena? Is it close enough?
Yes,
to the
it's
arena
right
there.
Oh yeah, it's okay. Right there. I'd book a St. Elmo's reservation. Great dinner with mom, and then we just walk down to the arena. We go to the Pacers-Knicks game. Everybody gets what they want. I feel like that's the proper approach. That's how I
That's a day right there.
Day.
If your mother's into the Pacers, you go to game four, you head on over to St. Elmo's. What is it? Everybody loves the shrimp, right? It's the shrimp that everyone's
cocktail,
into.
And yeah. The steaks are incredible. It's kind of like a rite of passage, if you will. You have to go there whenever you go to Indianapolis.
As I said, I just looked up the you can get in for under $100 to the Pacers-Knicks games.
I mean, wow. Listen, now, that's going to be less than what the St. Elmo's dinner is going to cost you. You know, but yeah, $200-$300.
Myron, can I tell you what just happened there? Nick what? Chimed in there. See, he's throwing it. He's a Knicks fan. And
yeah.
So he's throwing a jab at Pacers
yeah, he was.
Fans.
No,
saying,
not a jab.
You could get in the building yeah. for under 100. Because yeah. if this game was at the Garden,
it'd be yeah. 500. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's that's envy. What you did there, Nick. Be honest.
No, it's envy. I wish I could get into Madison Square Garden for less than 250.
He's basically saying, you know, don't you wish you were from a big market? Is kind of what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's
small market teams don't have a chance. I don't even know why they're showing up today.
I guess that's what Carlisle said, and I guess you got to believe him. He's Jonathan Zaslow. I'm Myron Metcalf. Coming up next, we tell you why this NBA head coaching job is the worst job in all of basketball. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Today on ESPN Radio, the Pacers look to make it 2 in a row at home and tie the series with the Knicks up at 2 games each in a critical game 4.
Haliburton layup's good!
Coverage begins today at 3 Eastern with tip-off at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed. Matt and Myron, the podcast.
Traveling to see your fave sports team is cool, but traveling with Amex Platinum for the big game is even better.
Right this way.
With access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, you can skip the line.
And one.
And with access to the Centurion Lounge,
he shoots a three.
You can catch the next game on the way home. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a seven-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from two-for-one pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Myron Metcalf. He's Jonathan Zaslow. This is Sunday Morning with Matt and Myron. Mama said knock you out on Mother's Day? I guess. I mean, those strong mothers out there telling you to go out there and do what you got to do.
Whatever
Where
they
would
say,
we be
you
without
gotta,
them?
You got to listen to them. Whatever they say, you got to do it.
What are you doing for Mother's Day? What's your plans, Zaz?
Well, we are going to dinner tonight. We have dinner reservations. My family, me, my wife, my two boys. We're bringing my mother along you know.
Great.
So yeah, we're doing a whole deal tonight. We're doing Mother's Day dinner. We're looking forward to it.
And then, how does that balance with games you plan to watch?
Okay. All right, Myron. You set me up.
What's
here.
Happening? What?
All right, you're setting me up here. Okay. So. If your team is playing sport, you know, NHL, NBA, if your team is playing in May like this, then the stakes are high. These are high stakes games at this time of year. I'm a huge Florida Panther fan, all right? I don't know if you noticed, but the Panthers, they took a 2-1 lead on the Bruins a couple of nights ago. So game four is tonight in Boston. Now, game four is at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. What time are my dinner reservations tonight? Yeah. You are correct. 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, wow.
So it's happening at the exact same time.
Yep.
So I'm in a pickle here, Myron, right? Because I don't miss games. And I love the Florida Panthers, but I also love my mother. Yep. I also love my wife.
Yep.
So this is a whole situation we're dealing with here tonight. Like, Myron, what's going to happen if we're sitting at the dinner table and I take out my phone? Because, you know, I can watch a game on my phone. I take out my phone and I just put it on the dinner table and I got the game on. What's going to happen? Yeah. I don't know. It's a gamble. I don't know.
I want the people to kind of add their two cents here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should Jonathan Zaslow watch the game on his phone during his Mother's Day dinner? Should he leave early? What should he do to try to balance the two? Or does he just have to say, forget the game, enjoy Mother's Day? Because my guess is there are going to be a lot of people who say, you just missed the game. I mean, it's Mother's Day.
Just straight up miss it?
You just gotta miss this one. I don't know how you get around it. Now, granted, my mom is in Milwaukee. I'm in Minneapolis. I sent her this lovely floral arrangement. So I don't have the same predicament. However, I don't know, man. I think Mother's Day is Mother's Day. And my thing is, why not change some of these start times for all these games so that everybody can get to dinner with their moms? I'm in favor of a new law where every game has to end by 6 p.m. Eastern on Mother's Day. Can we do that? Can we figure that out as a country? Because is how you avoid that whole problem.
Yeah, I think the NHL may have thought they were doing everybody a solid by making it a 6:30 start instead of like an 8 p.m. start. But you're right. Why couldn't this be a 1 p.m. game here? And then you get it out the way, and then you take care of all the mothers across the country, you know?
We could be watching games right now. I mean, let's get it all out of our system. Let's all watch. And then moms get the rest of the evening to themselves. So the real problem is the league's not thinking of our needs to try to balance Mother's Day.
That's right. What's my need? They should be thinking about me on Mother's Day.
That's what I'm talking about.
I got needs too. That's right.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How should Zaz handle Mother's Day and the dilemma he's dealing with? The Lakers have a dilemma because they need a head coach. Fired Darvin Ham, who so much praise for him when he was hired a couple years ago. Now he's out because the NBA hires coaches only to fire him. That's kind of the way that they do it. He went 90-74 in his two seasons as head coach in the Lakers. With the Lakers, made the playoffs in multiple seasons. Here's my thing with the Lakers job. And I think some people think this about the Suns job. I think the Lakers is the worst job in the NBA. I think it's a really, really terrible job for
worse
a head
than,
coach.
Like the Charlotte Hornets or the Washington Wizards?
It's worse because in LA, because of their legacy, because of that city, because of the media spotlight, everything attached to it.
Just say because of LeBron. Just say that.
But it was before LeBron, it was Kobe. Before Kobe, it was Magic and Kareem. So there has always been an expectation that if you are coaching a team with those Lakers uniforms, you are competing for championships, no matter how difficult that is. It's a job that's removed from reality. And that's why I don't care who they hire. I mean, I'm hearing J.J. Redick, whoa, just saying, our ESPN colleague could get an interview. It doesn't matter who they hire. That is a terrible position to be in because you got aging LeBron. You got D'Lo in his situation. What does he decide to do? Can you bring in a third scorer? AD was able to play most of the season, an incredible player when he's available. I don't know how many people would feel comfortable as with AD being the leader of their franchise for the next 5 years because of the injury history. I think the Lakers is a bad job for a coach. It's a great place to play for the NBA. It's the dream for an NBA player. But as a coach, you're just setting yourself up to be fired no matter who gets hired.
I mean, look, overall, we have to remember it's 1 out of 30. So when we're talking about 1 out of 30 in the world, you know, big picture-wise, it's obviously a great job.
Yes.
But if we're talking about it just in NBA terms, and especially when you're a first-time head coach last year, like Darvin Ham, is that a good job? And I'm with you there. That is not a good job for someone like Darvin Ham. Yeah. Now, someone, you know, depending on who they hire, come in, like, for instance, Phoenix, we could have that same conversation about the Suns. For Budenholzer, that's an established veteran coach. He's won a championship before. That's a little bit of a different scenario. But if I'm a first-time head coach like Darvin Ham was, or, you know, if they're going to go out and hire J.J. Redick, who would obviously be a first-time head coach, that's a really, really tough spot because the expectation is, and we saw it with Steve Nash, you know, in Brooklyn, the expectation is you don't have time to grow on this job. You don't have time to figure out what kind of coach you are. You got to win right away. Like, for instance, Myron, you know, Eric Spoelstra here in Miami, a lot of people think that his first year was the first year LeBron got here. That was his third year, all right? For Eric Spoelstra, thank goodness he had those first 2 years where there were no expectations. Those were two Heat teams that lost in the first round each of those years. So by the time it gets to winning time, all right, you got a couple years under your belt. If you're going to be a first-time ever head coach like Darvin Ham was before last season, that's a very, very rough job.
It is. And I don't know who they're going to hire, but to me, unless you know you are bringing a third star with you, good luck. We got some callers who want to help Zaz out whether or not he should bail on Mother's Day to watch his beloved Florida Panthers. Rich and Indy, what say you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I kind of equate this to Notre Dame. I'm a massive Notre Dame fan.
Okay.
And the last thing I want to do is miss a Notre Dame game. But if it's Mother's Day, you got to do it. You can go check the scores quietly. Yep. But you can't just pull out your phone and start watching TV. It just doesn't work.
See, Rich, that's what I thought. I thought, you know, you got to put the phone away, right? You can't – I mean, you got to keep it away. You can't have it on the dinner table, I don't think.
And can I tell you something, Myron?
Yeah.
All right. My wife just walked past here in the Zaslow Mansion Studios where I'm set up and doing the show. My wife just passed by. She picked up her phone. She pointed at it to me and gave a big no. Her head no.
Yeah,
gave
that's it.
Big no.
But that's the verdict, though. I mean, now it becomes, it really doesn't matter what you want to do from this point. She just gave you the decision, you know.
Now, she was smiling, though, as she did it. Kind of a sinister smile, you know.
You're in trouble for even bringing this up, but I want to hear some other folks have to say. Ty in Arizona, what say you about Zaz's situation?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a Metcalfinated take for you now.
Yes, I love
it. Sitting here drinking coffee.
Okay.
I got to say, pulling out your phone, putting it on the dinner table during Mother's Day dinner, that's just a fingernail hair worse than, like, texting your friend when their dog dies. Like, you're not even going to give him a call. Yeah. You're just going to send him a text.
Yeah.
It's worse than, like, giving your dad, like, a 3-pack of golf balls for Father's Day.
Yep.
Here's what you should do. If you're such big fan of the whatever, Panthers.
Yep.
You know what you need to do? Is you need to pull out your phone, put it on the dinner table, and say, Mom, happy Mother's Day. You get to watch the game while I sit on the other side of the table and twiddle my thumbs and think about other things because I'm too preoccupied to give my mom the attention and
He's right. Listen, Zaz, it's not – it's – and here's the thing, man. I don't know if you're safe even making the attempt. That's my concern. I mean, I'm now concerned for your –
well, that's
your,
why I said what's going to happen
physical
when it
safety
makes an
in this. It could be a problem. Coming up next, Jokic already has 3 MVPs, but what does he have to do to get multiple titles? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy. Coming up Monday, the NBA and NHL playoffs continue. NFL rookie minicamps are wrapping up, and I'll react to it all in my Upon Further Review at 6:30 Eastern. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Thanks for listening to Matt and Myron, the podcast. You can listen to the show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt and Myron, the podcast. From ESPN Podcast and Omaha Productions.
Ready? Here we go.
Coach is a new groundbreaking educational football podcast hosted by NFL legends Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and Michael Lombardi. In each episode, the coaches break down game-changing situations and front office management tactics, sharing insights from decades of coaching experience and opening up the Bill Belichick Encyclopedia of Football Knowledge. Created by football legends for football fans. New episodes of Coach drop weekly. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.